This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Joshua.
How are we doing?
Really good.
I just want to – I think – I'm like starting to think about setting up an all-media NFL combine and how it would go.
Well, I will be – I'll be on the sidelines watching you guys. Have fun.
Fantastic.
Dave, we never start with you, so I'm going to start with you today.
You're right. Thank you.
Yes, I'm a giver.
We always start with Dave.
It has been the talker of the week in the NFL world. No, not Matthew Stafford. I mean, yeah, it has. But the tush push. So far, the reaction has been the 50-50 when it comes to keeping it or banning it. Dave, should the NFL consider banning the tush push, or should teams, you know, I don't know, just nutting up and stopping the play? Maybe that's a good idea, too.
Just, this is always my thought on things like this, okay? If you're really going to do something, fix the kickoffs. It's awful. The tush push, I mean, how many teams actually even try it? How many teams are successful? Who cares? Why don't you like it? If you want to take your $40 million quarterback and smush him into a brick wall, that's your choice. You're an idiot, but that's your choice. To me, the bigger problem in the NFL is the kickoffs. What they did last year was dumb. It made no sense. It rarely ever – there was almost never a return. I don't know what the numbers are on it. But, I mean, there's bigger issues than the tush push to me that need to be fixed. So do whatever
you want. Totally agree. I totally agree with you, Dave. I think that there are three things, and I've been saying this for over a year, and now I'm going to say it again, and I just did it this last week in our podcast. Kickoff, they've got to get it fixed. They've got to change it. They've got to go back in time. And I think I know what the reason is why they did it, but it just doesn't work. And so we've got to figure out something else. Whatever that something else is, has got to be better than what they're doing now. You got to dress three quarterbacks so that there's, if you have two of them go down, you still have that third. I mean, I think that just makes sense, and I think you have to dress your guys that you have on the practice squad. But as far as the tush push, I hate it. It doesn't make sense to me at all. And I know there's people on the other side of this, so I respect them, but I will say this. Forever in the NFL, you could not help your player move down the field. And now all of a sudden we've brought in this tush push, and everybody thinks it's okay. I don't think it's okay. Getting behind one of your players to push him in, I'm not really sure that makes sense for me either.
So, Pete, you're saying you're anti-tush?
100%,
okay.
Yes.
You don't like the tush. Got it.
No.
See, I like everything you said, but I'll say that I don't want to dress three quarterbacks because So the most exciting thing in baseball is when you're just getting crushed, right? Then you take your left fielder to come in and pitch. I would like the NFL. I want to see your left tackle have to come in and play quarterback. I think it'd be wildly entertaining.
That would be. That actually would be.
Right?
That'd be pretty good.
I like it. I like it.
This week we said so long to a true pillar to the basketball world. She led the way for the Caitlin Clarks and the Angel Reese's of the world, Mr. Pete Najarian. Diana Taurasi, hanging up the old basketball sneakers, three-time WNBA champion, two-time WNBA Finals MVP. It was part of the three-peat UConn team from 02 to 04, and a six-time Olympic gold medal winner. Where does Diana Taurasi rank when it comes to women's basketball, Pete Najarian?
How is she not number one? I mean, honestly, when you think about all the things that you just said, what she's been able to accomplish, and you know what? This goes all the way back, probably high school. I don't know her high school, but I will say UConn. The basketball program for the female basketball program there and the men has been absolutely unbelievable, extraordinary beyond words. What they've been able to do, all the championships that they've done, all the great players that have come out of there. But I think by far she stands out as the best that I'm aware of. And somebody probably could push me out to a different one, but for right now I'm going to say she's the best of all time.
I would say yes, she is the best. And here's what I loved about Diana Taurasi. And I say that with a caveat, and I'll take the local angle, that Maya Moore's career was too short. I think she probably was the one who could have, had she played a full career. What I love most about Diana Taurasi is just the swagger that she had. And, I mean, it's that compete level, right? It's that I'm going to compete against you every single aspect of this game. I'm going to dive to get a ground ball. I'm going to shoot right in your face if you're going to give me an open. I'm going to fight for a rebound. Like, Diana Taurasi's swagger and compete level, I think, is higher than almost anybody I've ever seen play basketball on either side, you know, the women's or the men's side. She just fought for everything all the time. And that's why I think she is the greatest player. And if you look at her total points, I just pulled this up really quick. The person close to her, Tina Charles, has about 3,000 points less than her. So Diana Taurasi scored 10,646 in her career. That's incredible.
Unreal.
Gino Auriemma, one of the all-time GOATs when it comes to women's basketball coaching. Let's not – I don't think he gets mentioned enough in today's, you know, media construct as it is. Truly one of the all-time great coaches in college sports and basketball in general. Dave, it seems like we might be saying goodbye to another basketball star here soon. Since being drafted 11 years ago, Philadelphia 76ers star Joel Embiid has missed 400 games and has played 446 games. He's missed due to injury. We learned just a couple of days ago that the Sixers are shutting him down for the season, a seven-time All-Star, 2023 MVP, two-time scoring champion, and also won a gold medal in Paris. Dave, is it time for Joel Embiid to shut it down completely, or does maybe another team take a flyer on him at this point?
I mean, depending what the cost is, I suppose you could always see, but he really, I mean, he's got 2, 4, 6, 8, 9, he's only 30 years old. I mean, but his body's breaking down. And however, if ever there is a league to sign someone who's going to play a half to three quarters of your schedule, the NBA is it, right? I mean, you can have load management. That's what everybody does. But I don't think he's played a full game schedule ever. Has he? I'm looking at 63 games, 64 games, 68 games, you know, 19 this year. The salary doesn't necessarily match up with what you're getting out of him, so he would have to take less. But I mean, that the question is really, does Joel Embiid still want to continue to have that life where you're constantly battling injuries? His body clearly is falling apart, and so I think I think there'd always be a team that would take a chance on him if the price is right. I think the question is, does Joel Embiid want to keep battling? And you know, at this point he's 30, but he's not going to have much of a body left by the time he's 40.
At $51 million a year, he might still get a little bit of a look from his end. There's no doubt. But, you know, what separates him from a lot of the big men is he's truly a big man. He's not just a seven-footer. He's a seven-footer who's 280 pounds. So I wonder sometimes, is that part of it? He's not heavy. He's not fat. He's not any of those things. But, you know, you just wonder, is his body, as it's been falling apart, and it certainly has been, like you said, Dave, I mean, he hasn't been able to play all the games of any season at all. That's a bit of a problem. And, you know, does somebody want to pay him that kind of money, which is what he'll demand? They probably will take a shot. Somebody will. And I think they'll be sorry for doing so, because I think he's at that level now where he's just breaking down every single year. And obviously this year, it's too bad for Philadelphia that he's not able to be out on the court.
All right. One final one real quick for fast breaks. Pete, I think you're going to love this. We may have Charlie Hustle in the Baseball Hall of Fame. Possibly. MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred is reviewing a petition filed on January 8th by Pete Rose's family to have the all-time hits leader in baseball reinstated as an eligible Hall of Fame player. Do you think Pete should be in the MLB Hall of Fame, Pete?
I'm going to say yes, and my reasoning is this. From what we know about the betting and all the rest of the things that have kept him out, that there was not something where he was ever throwing a game. And I think that would be the part that would be the awful part, where you'd have to say, nope, this guy's not part of it. So because of that, I think Pete belongs to be there. And I think the family will probably get their way. I think it's something that a lot of people will be really excited about. It'll probably fuel a lot more attention back to Major League Baseball as well.
Shame on Major League Baseball. Shame on them. And I'll tell you why. We said this when we talked about his passing. I said, if you do it now after he passes, you look even pettier than you possibly could have before. Nothing has changed. His stats have been the same. His bio has been the same. The only thing that happened now is that he passes, and he didn't live long enough to see himself going to the Hall of Fame. If you do this after the fact, and he does deserve to be there, it's a massive slap in the face both to him and his family. It should have been done 5 to 7 years ago, especially with what sports gambling has done in the landscape of all these different sports. It literally looks like you held him out just because you wanted him to suffer. Shame on Major League Baseball for doing it. It makes me so angry to even consider this now, that you're going to wait until he dies to put him in, because he deserved to be there the whole time.
Couldn't agree more.
I'm furious with this. Yep. It makes me so angry.
Yeah, we dove into that when he did pass, too, I remember, because I had the same viewpoint as what you're saying, basically, is don't be cowards and do this after he passed. No. Like, let him actually, you know, enjoy the fruits of this while he's still around.
Enjoy the moment.
Yeah.
He paid his price.
Yep. It's beyond messed up that they're doing this now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if I was his family, and I know that they're petitioning, and I get it, but if I was his family, when they come to him and go, we want to put him in the Hall of Fame, I'd be like, here's what you can do with it. And I'd put up one finger on my hand. I won't tell you which one. That's exactly what I would do with it. Make them look stupid for it, and then walk away and never talk to him again. Because shame on Major League Baseball. They were petty, and they were not willing to allow someone who was – a good baseball player, a phenomenal baseball player, maybe not the best human, but you know what? It is not the Hall of Fame of good human beings. It's the Hall of Fame of good baseball players.
That's right.
Boom.
That's right.
All right.